just love weather done by a perky person, and Megan fills the bill. Wasn't she perky? Isn't she, Tom?
You've been waiting for a weather person who actually sounds really upbeat.
Never heard 84 degrees delivered with quite that kind of energy and zest. Boy, oh boy, we got a great hot summer day going for you. We got a great hot in-studio guest, too. I'm telling you, the temperature's already gone up 15 degrees Fahrenheit in here since Mike Beck arrived on these premises. Mike, you made it. Thank you, buddy. You are the top guy at the St. Paul Saints Ball Club, and we're happy to have you in here. We got lots to talk about today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here, and I think Megan delivered that with aplomb.
Aplomb and other kinds of fruit, too.
Better. That's right.
Okay, yep, I saw it.
I'll have that orange.
Okay, all right. Folks, you get the idea that this hour is going to be something maybe untold, unprecedented for sure in American, maybe Canadian radio, too. Mike Vec is a storied baseball owner, comes from a storied, legendary baseball family. Father Bill Vec, and the Chicago White Sox. Give us a quick family history of the Vecs baseball.
And in the early 1900s, my grandfather came up from Indianapolis and ended up in Chicago, wrote for the Chicago American. One day, Phil Wrigley called him up and said, you think you know so much about baseball, run the Cubs. And my grandfather looked at his watch and said, I'll be over in 15 minutes.
Took him that long. Huh?
And he ran it for the next 14 years. And that's where my daddy learned, selling pop in Wrigley Field. Yeah. And then ultimately ran three major league teams. And the second time around in Chicago, I got to go I got to go with him, which he still regrets. Even Daddy's regretting it.
But you're his boy. You're his son. How can he regret you? Huh?
I remember him saying, he's not my boy. He's not my son.
Don't know the kid, huh?
That's right.
Wandered in off the mean streets of Chicago, and here he is. What were the two other major league teams?
He had the Cleveland Indians when they won, of course, a world championship in 1948 and drew 2.6 million people, 3.5 million unpaid. Didn't want to pay the amusement tax on women and children. And then he had the hapless, as we like to say, without aplomb, St. Louis Browns. Oh, my Lord. They're the Baltimore Orioles now. The club was so bad that people used to call in and go, what time's the game start? My mother would say, what time's convenient for you to get here? An order of 12 tickets was like, that was like a group. They got a group discount.
There's a game I'll try to miss, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, yeah. Not the Saints, though. The Saints have a great history, too. The St. Paul Saints go way, way back. Mike, give us a little bit of history on that, too. It's fun stuff.
Well, 1991, I came here with a dream and not very much money. And we were going to start a team, an independent team in St. Paul. We were going to always be the Saints. We were going to be the St. Paul Saints. It was going to be in the Northern League. Patrick Royce and Sid Hartman and some of the pundits said, you know, and Andy McPhail, these guys will be out of business in 45 days.
I can hear Sid saying that. Right
now.
It
really surprised me because Sid and my father were friends.
Really?
And
really?
In my dad's book, Vec is in Wreck, it was reported how Sid would pick my dad up at the airport and drive him to Mayo Clinic. And so it never occurred to me that I had to pay homage, you know, and go and genuflect and say, is this a good idea? Mm-hmm, and he would have said no anyhow. And something happened, you know. People started to come.
Yeah.
And here we are 21 years later. It's astounding.
You know what? It has a lot, and I'm not being patronizing, Mr. Vec, but it has a lot to do with you. You have got a natural promotional talent and ability and excitement that you bring. Well, you can hear it right now on the radio, but what you bring to the whole team experience. I've gone to many games, the Saints, and it is more than a ball game. You've got some pretty good players down there on the field, but I love the antics and all the screwball stuff's going on. It's just fun. It is truly what the American pastime ought to be. Something good, clean, fun for the whole family, and a lot of laughs along the way. It's fun.
Well, that's exactly what everybody says. Well, it's the funny things or...
Fun is good. That's your mantra.
That's right. Yeah. Fun is good. But what really it is it's affordable family fun. And I did an interview yesterday with a fellow from New York, Newsday magazine or whatever it is. And he said to me, what do you think the major leagues ought to do? And I said, exactly what the minor leagues are doing, which is make players accessible. Keep your prices so that single moms and single dads and families can afford them, and make it fun. That's all. People then become baseball fans because they we had Bob Dylan the other night.
Yeah, you did.
Wilco, My Metal Jacket, and Richard Thompson. Four acts, 5.5 hours at Midway. 10% of the 15,000 people who were there If they're not baseball fans, doesn't matter. We'll come back if they had fun in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I'm going to get 1,500 of those 15,000 people that were there to come and try the Saints product just because they had fun at Midway watching a concert.
Yeah.
And that's why fun makes so much sense to me.
In the major leagues, some of the players actually charge to sign autographs. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? I know you're not here to bash the
oh, major no. League, I spent 10 years in the big leagues myself, yeah. So I've been with four different major league teams, and they every year in Saintsville, we have Bill Murray, one of the partners, come and sign autographs.
Yeah.
And I point out to the players, there's an A-lister. Bill's a pretty big name.
Pretty big.
And he can sign an autograph, so I bet you can, too.
Yep. Okay. I get that, and you get that, and I'm thinking, you know, charging $10 for a hot dog and $7 for a beer over at the big stadium, that's shutting, freezing so many families, Mike, out of the game. It really is. They
and
can't afford it.
That's exactly right.
And I was over at your July 6th fireworks show, and we were walking around next to this woman. She was getting, you know, beers for five people. She walked down there with a $50 bill. She got change back. She's like, what?
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's
exactly.
Right. We're not there.
Exactly.
We're here.
Exactly.
We're at the Saints.
Yeah, and that's so important. And it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with bashing my big league brethren.
Yep.
It has to do with people, what we can afford.
That's right. Thank you. Folks, you know, we're just coming out of a recession, huh? And a lot of folks, they can't make those dollars stretch very far anymore. And this is the perfect venue, the perfect game for you. I really enjoy it over there. It is fun. Keep it that way, and I know you will.
This is going to make you laugh, though. I got to
go ahead.
Lead into this
go
song.
Go ahead. Yep.
Rod Stewart, on my bucket list. I haven't seen him live and in person except with the Faces years ago, so
yep.
We're going to Vegas.
Yep.
At the end of the month, I'm taking the red eye out to see Rod Stewart. He's on my bucket list. So.
Yeah, okay.
How about we play a little Rod Stewart?
Let's do it. I think we can make that happen right here, Tom.
Cathedral bells were tolling, and our hearts sang on. Was it the spell of Paris or the April dawn? Who knows if we shall meet again? But when the morning chimes ring sweet again, I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day. In everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
That was a big favorite among the troops and those folks on the home front here during World War II. I'll be seeing you, Rod Stewart, taking a turn at it, an old Joe Stafford song there. That by request from JoJo in Anoka and Mike, as in Mike Vec here in the studio. Mike, that's a good choice. You have good taste, my boy.
Hey. You know, that's a little known and well-hidden fact, but I appreciate it.
I'll say anything on the radio, Mike, but I mean it. I do. All right, so as we said, it's 34 years ago tonight that mayhem broke out on the field at Comiskey Park in Chicago. Was it a White Sox doubleheader that night?
White Sox against the lead.
Things just went totally amiss out there. We'll get to that in a minute. Set it up for us. What happened? What led to this wacky, crazy, infamous night?
Well, we had a date on the schedule that was a remake, you know, a rain out. Yeah. And so we had a twi-night doubleheader, which is something that'll never happen again. And we hadn't sold any tickets. We had very few season ticket holders. And my dad said, we got to come up with something. So I'm thinking to myself, man, what are we going to do? And I listened to the radio because, of course, that's where it's, for me, still at. I still love the intimacy of radio. Yeah, and I'm listening to the radio. And a guy named Steve Dahl blows up a disco record. And it was back in the days of the old 6 to 10 shift. At 10:05, I called him up at WLUP and I go, baby, have you ever done that live? And he goes, are you kidding me? I do it in the studio. Yeah. I said, we got to try it live at Comiskey Park.
The guy hates disco music. Is that right?
He hates disco music. Okay. He's got a group called the Insane Coho Lips whose whole life is dedicated to stamping out disco. I said, this is my kind of guy. Let's invite them all to the ballpark. And between games of a twi-night doubleheader, we'll blow up all the disco albums they bring.
Don't tell the Bee Gees.
Yeah, we invite... Okay. I got in a beef with Morris on the air one night, on the radio, about it. But anyhow, July 12th arrives. At 3 o'clock, there are 35,000 people lined up on the corner of 35th and Shields. And we open the gates at 5 o'clock. First pitch, we opened the gates at 4. The first pitch was at 5 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, we sealed the gates with 60,000 people inside Comiskey Park. It sat 47,000. There were 40,000 people outside, still trying to get in. Traffic was backed up from O'Hare Airport to Comiskey, which is 26 miles. So we got their attention.
You're the most hated man in Chicago.
Believe me, Jane Byrne was the mayor, and I was not a popular guy. She goes, let's have a meeting. I go, you got all the helicopters, and you're not going to get here any other way but that. And so the first game finishes. We lost that. Who cares? We put 13,000 Donna Summers records, Casey and the Sunshine Band, in a dumpster with a stick of dynamite. We blow them up. Time magazine's there, Newsweek, Rolling Stone. What happened next is a little fuzzy, but the difference is I was on the field. I was on second base, yep. And I looked down, and here are these people.
All right, let's catch a little of the atmosphere. So we have some audio from that night. Here we go, Tom.
This is Bill Beck. Please clear the park, or we'll have to call off the game and close the park.
People were throwing cherry bombs at me and you know, beers, and it was insane. I mean, it was really insane.
A lot of fans trying to get in the dugout here, the White Sox dugout, but they've got security guards around it.
It was an unbelievable thing because we didn't actually know what was going on inside the ballpark. We just knew that there was like a riot.
What say we all regain our seats so we can play baseball again?
I'm a very fortunate person. I am doing exactly what I want to do. That was the only day in 43 years where I said I didn't want to be in baseball.
I'm sorry, Roger, but I'm not that sorry. You're still in baseball. And so am I, even though they said I wouldn't be.
And we heard Harry Carey there. Can we resume the baseball game?
That's the only time that Harry wasn't effective. 10 times in a row, he won the Duke of the Loop. But that was one night he wasn't.
He started singing, "Take Me Away from the Ball Game." Huh?
Right. Well, there were a few people singing that. And Bowie Kuhn was singing, "Take Mike Away from the Ball Game" the next morning.
Okay, this disc jockey who kind of precipitated the whole thing, Steve Dahl. We got a little bit from him as he remembers what happened. Tom, can we get that up here in just a second? Abby, cut number four here. And this courtesy of Comcast Sports Network. Were the police on, were they coming to help restore order, or were they not in the picture yet, Mike?
In Comiskey Park, you have 1 hour to quell your own disturbance. So we obviously were not successful quelling it, whatever quell means.
Well, yes.
But the 61st minute, the police came in on horseback.
Ooh. Oh.
36 of them, as I remember.
Quell, quell, quell. Huh?
Here's okay. What Steve Dahl thought about that.
Yeah.
I might have tapped into some disenfranchisement on the part of the young rock and roller.
Yeah?
Hey, he didn't even know what disenfranchisement meant until about 5 years ago, you know. He's become so hip, revisionist history.
Yeah. Okay, I guess I meant cut five, Tommy. I'm sorry. Here next we hear from White Sox pitcher, huh?
Right. Eddie Farmer?
Eddie Farmer. He was, I think he was almost decapitated that night by the Beach Boys, maybe. Let's hear it.
What I remember vividly about this was a Beach Boys record coming across, and that wasn't even disco. But just remember the Beach Boys, "Fun, Fun, Fun," as I picked it up on the infield grass, because it came sailing by my face.
Wow. You know, that hurts me that I just saw Brian Wilson down at Jazz Fest, and that hurts me, the fact that a Beach Boy record was included in that disco.
Wasn't even disco.
That's not
even
fair.
I'm going to feel bad about this for the first time in 34 years.
That's so wrong, Mike Beck. I'm just sick about it myself, you know. Let's hear just a wee bit more. Tom, we can get track six up here, blowing up the records, describing the aftermath, if we can do that. I think it's next in the line here. Here we go.
Let's... two, three, four!
I mean, it was frightening. It was there was vinyl everywhere, flying everywhere, and it caught on fire. I mean, it was.
See, they're all
it was
laughing
awesome, though.
Dahl
it's
and
terrible.
His radio partner Gary Meyer then rode off the field, and both teams began preparing for the second game. But the fans had other ideas.
Some guy just jumped out. I think it was in the left field and just started running around, and then another guy did it, and. It was like popcorn, you know, just like all of a sudden, boom, everyone jumped on the field.
Jimmy Pearsall back in the ballpark, and I'm sure glad, and I hope they don't let you people see what's going on here at Comiskey Park. One of the saddest sights I've ever seen in a ballpark in my life. This garbage of demolishing a record has turned into a fiasco.
We never thought we'd get a chance to be on a baseball field. Obviously, Chicago sports were awful back then. This is before the Bears Super Bowl, before Michael Jordan, so we really hadn't won anything here in a long time. So this was kind of like our pennant celebration that we would never get.
Yeah, never get indeed.
I can't believe that Beck would do this. I can't believe it. Of course, this is Jimmy Pearsall, and I haven't taken my lithium today, so I'm going to really get hyper excited about this.
Wait till the drugs wear off. Okay. And then the fans come on the field, and your father, Bill, actually picks up a microphone and tries to sing to the crowd to calm them down. And what a moment that was. It didn't work, folks, did it?
It was not exactly
like
Sinatra taking
horn. But he had great soul. He had great energy. He had great conviction. And here it is.
For over 35 minutes, thousands of fans took control of the baseball field. White Sox owner Bill Veeck tried to calm the situation by singing an old baseball classic. It didn't work.
I don't know how they can say that.
Because we all loved Bill Veeck, and you know, we were singing it with him, like, yeah, let's do it. And then once it was over, it's like, okay, clear the field, and we're like, not yet, no.
Okay, how about damage estimates to your pride and to the field, Mike?
Oh, well, forget to my pride. I mean, they almost ran me out of Chicago that night, so I'll leave that one alone.
Okay.
And to the field, when we sold the White Sox in 81, we held $600,000 back to settle some of the beefs from Disco. The immediate damage to the field, call it 10 grand.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
yeah.
It was just... But the forfeiture, the fourth forfeiture in the history of baseball, that was a little tough to stomach.
Does AstroTurf burn when it's put alight? Does it, huh?
Anything burns.
Anything burns.
When there's that many people on it.
All right, you got that. You know, so 34 years ago tonight, all that mayhem, all that wildness and craziness in Comiskey Park in Chicago during that twi-night doubleheader with the White Sox. What a crazy night. What an anniversary. Let's take a musical break here. We've got a request here by you yourself, my friend. Something by Elvis here to kind of calm things down. What do you say?
Well, it was very similar to After Disco Demolition. Yeah. I sent a lot of letters out to a lot of major league teams looking for work, and they all came back to me. So like Elvis said, return them to sender.
Yeah, return them right now.
Return to sender. Return to sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it, return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such zone. We had a quarrel, a lover's spat. I write, I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back. So then I dropped it in the mailbox as in a special deed. Bright and early next morning, it came right back to me. She wrote upon it, return to sender, address unknown. No such person, no such zone. This time I'm gonna take it myself and put it right in her hand. And if it comes back the very next day, then I'll understand.
We're riding on it.
Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such zone.
Been family owned since 1922, and we still believe that it all starts with you.
Over 91 years, almost everything changes. You could repaint the canvas of the entire Twin Cities with very few exceptions, but Stillwater Motors would be one of them. Stillwater Motors is selling America's best vehicles to the third and fourth generations of their original customers. They'll greet you today with the same integrity, value, and customer service which has been their foundation since 1922. Stillwater Motors matches the best vehicles with the best value. Price is not a problem, but finding a dealer with equal history and success is impossible. When you're ready for your next vehicle, why would you go anywhere else? Stillwater Motors, Highway 36 and Stillwater Boulevard, right on the corner and right on the price. Redund's family owned and operated since 1922.
Like new cars, new boats depreciate quickly with their first few miles. Buyers get much better value in pre-owned boats of any style.
I'm John Tesloff of Tesloff Yacht Sales. We help customers choose from thousands of pre-owned boats all throughout the Midwest. We also have the expertise to deliver the best value for their investment.
Learn more at TesloffYachtSales.com or call 651-214-9463. Set sail for Tesloff Yacht Sales.
When people aren't looking, their legs are talking.
Hey, why the long pants?
I'm just self-conscious. I've got a couple veins that are getting a little too visible and uncomfortable.
Visit the Minnesota Vein Center. Treatment is pain-free, and they'll verify your insurance coverage up front. Great legs, no surprises.
Legs, no. Visit mnveincenter.com or call 651-765-VEIN. The Minnesota Vein Center, helping you look and feel your very best.
No fees, no meetings.
just the very best music ever recorded.
You never get tired of those songs.
Welcome to the club and the all-request and dedication lunch with Stan Turner on Club 1220 KLBB, where your music and memories live.
Time for music.